T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The McNeil and Parkin Show.
Guys, let me say, it's noble work you're doing.
On 670 The Score.
Now let's look at the Bear defense. It's 4-3, Trace Armstrong, Carl Simpson, Chris Zorich, and Alonzo Spellman. The front four, Joe Kane, the leading tackler, Dante Jones, and Vincent Smith, the linebackers. Secondary, Donnell Wolford, Jeremy Lincoln, the cornerbacks. Carrier and Gale, the two safeties. The Bears leading Minnesota 14-3 in the second quarter. Third and short. Moon's going to throw it. Outside, Donnell Wolford and Joe Kane up to make the hit. The handoff. Kane again on the stop.
Joe Kane. Good afternoon and welcome on board. It's the McNeil and Parkin Show on Sports Radio 670. Mark Grody's in for Parkins. This is going to be fun. Those highlights, of course, the Bears' New Year's Day playoff victory over the Vikings, 1995. And you heard the late Pat Summerall describing the Bears' leading tackler, number 59. He's the one and only Joe Kane. Man, it's been too long, Joe. How are you?
Hey, what is happening, man? That is funny listening to that. Wow.
Yeah. You know, it's been fun watching you and following you on social media. And I mean, you're still following the game, and I love your cooking stuff. And, man, I don't know how we lost touch, but it's great to have you on board today. And so many of our listeners, when I mentioned that you were coming on, were texting their memories. You developed a very fast friendship with the radio station, and we have nothing but fond memories, man. I hope you feel similarly.
Oh, yeah, awesome. It was a good time, man. I love Chicago. I'm there, you know, just about every summer. You know, well, I didn't make it this past summer, but I have a lot of family in Chicago, so I'm usually there to visit, you know, sometimes twice a year.
So are you on the outskirts of Seattle or in Seattle Metro? Where are you cribbing?
Seattle Metro. Yeah, I'm in Seattle. Yeah, in town.
I got to get out there. Say this all the time. I've got to get back to Seattle. It's probably been a half a dozen, maybe even 10 years since I've been there. That is the most underrated, I think, vacation destination in America. And if you like scenery, if you like great food, if you like the water, it's wonderful, man. And I know you know that.
Yeah, it's a beautiful city. You know what I mean? There's lots to do here, especially outdoors. If you like the water, you know, skiing, fishing, you know, scuba diving. That's cold as hell. I wouldn't get in that water. But yeah, there's so much to do here. And the mountains, of course, is something that you don't have in the Midwest. And it's lovely.
Grody,
Joe,
I once
Mark
asked.
Grody.
Yeah, go ahead, yeah, Mark. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I think I'm a second ahead of you maybe on this thing today. Go ahead. Fire away.
I think you're right. That's where we're a little bit off sync on the Joe Kane. But, Joe, this has been 25 years in the making, my man. But congratulations on that whole 1994 wild card win in Minnesota. I'm not even kidding when I say this, man. That was one of my favorite Bears games of all time, just because it was so unexpected. Yes.
That was a fun game. I remember who made a big play in that game. Minifield. Remember that guy? He was defensive back.
Kevin Minifield.
He had a big sack in that game, like one of the biggest plays of that game. I think Jeff Graham returned a punt for a touchdown in that game. That was a fun ball game.
Harris.
Grody, yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but have the Bears won a road playoff game since?
I don't know.
I don't think they have.
That might be it.
They always lose them at home. They never go on the road. They lose them all at home.
I guess so. I don't know. Right. Because when they went to the Super Bowl, they had home field advantage, right?
Yeah.
Maybe we were the last ones to do it up to this point. Yeah, who knows?
What do you think of this new Bears, not so new anymore, but Matt Nagy in his 3 years, in his third year now? I know you watch him every week.
Yeah, like I watch some of the games. I watch all the games. I'm just lying. I watch the games, and I like some of his play calling. You know, I think he's innovative at times. Quarterback-wise, I think we could get better. You know, no disrespect to Mitch Trubisky. You know, no one forced the Bears to take him when they did in the draft. I think there's promise there. And they have some dynamic players on offense with Cohen. And if they can get a couple of more big play guys, who knows? But definitely they have to be solid at the quarterback position. And right now, you know, that's coin toss.
Well, we noted your tackling prowess in that 1994 playoff game. You had 108 tackles altogether in 1993. What do you think about number 58, Roquan Smith, because he's starting to turn into a little bit of a tackle machine himself? What have you thought of him?
Oh, I love Roquan. I watched him in college also. I thought he was the best linebacker coming out of college that year, and I was happy to see the Bears draft him. He's a solid player, seems like a really solid dude, and I think the Bears and the fans, they should be happy that you guys have him.
Recently, there were some interesting pictures of Roquan on a little love boat with a Pornhub star right off the coast of Miami. I'm sure that's something that Ted Phillips and George McCaskey were just thrilled to see.
Well, I mean, you're talking about young guys, man. Come on. You know, you're talking about guys who are young in the prime of their life, just full of muscles, you know, and looking handsome, and it's like,
yeah.
You know, yeah. Things happen sometimes, right, you know.
When you're on a boat.
Things happen when you're on a boat. Of course. I think anyone who has anything bad to say about that is just jealous.
You hear that, George McCaskey?
Joe, maybe you could clear this up for us. We were talking about one of the Bears' young draft picks, Lechavius Simmons, who seems like a really intriguing guy. He was on one of our Bears shows last night. His nickname is Pig. Have you ever heard in your life a sports guy nicknamed Pig? Because we think it's unprecedented.
Pig? No, I don't know a pig. That's what I'm trying to think. Yeah, I never played with a pig. Huh. Yeah, no, I never heard of a nickname.
You
like
had
that.
Some other okay. nicknames for
There's
for teammates.
Some other ones, right, that I probably can't mention right now. But Pig is not one of them, though.
Well, what was your nickname for Eugene Robinson?
I had so many nicknames. It was Joe Brain because everyone always made fun of the size of my head. So it was Joe
Plus, you
Brain.
Went to Stanford, right? So, you know.
At Stanford, my nickname was Jedi.
Oh, really?
That's
nice.
Good.
Yeah, Jedi. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like Star Wars Jedi, because they said I played with the Force, right? So whatever that meant, yeah.
That's awesome.
And at the time, I had never seen any of the Star Wars movies at the time, so I had no idea what they were talking about.
You were hoping right? It was a compliment.
Right. I figured, you know, Jedi Knight, you know, can't be bad. And then in the pros, Joe Brain, Cranium, anything, you know, that involves a big head, pretty much.
Did you have a nickname for Marty Carter, your former teammate? I remember you saying something about him that made Terry Bors and me and our producer.
I can't say it on air.
Oh.
I think we called him the sheriff, but that.
Okay. Right. All right. We got it.
Hey, Joe, at the very beginning, it was mentioned, you know, you did a little bit of broadcasting and you worked at the Score. And I wasn't really around much. I was in college then and wasn't listening a whole lot. But did you host some shows, like some overnight shows on the Score? And how'd that go?
Yes, I did. Yeah, mm-hmm. I did. Myself along with Keith Jennings, actually. Yeah,
Godzuki! So,
Godzuki, me and Jughead. Yeah, we did a few shows together. Yeah, it was awesome.
Man, can you imagine those headphones, how much they were stretched out between Keith Jennings?
They were destroyed after that, right. They had to throw them away.
Yeah, Keith Jennings' helmet full of quarters, you could go on vacation.
I think Keith Jennings had a touchdown in that 1994 game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think so. Jug had really good hands. I mean, he never got any yards after catch, but really good hands, though. Yeah, he wouldn't drop the ball. Right. No yak, though. No yards after catch.
I could just go down.
I'm pretty sure I had moved on to another outlet when Joe was doing the overnights, but the way it was described to me, Joe, is one of my radio nightmares, even to this day, doing it for more than 35 years, when you got nothing to say and nobody is calling and you're out there on an island by yourself and you feel so alone waiting to see that phone light up, man.
Well, I think it was I don't remember who was producing, but it was a really good producer who kept the show moving, and we did get some phone calls in. The producer did a great job, you know, at orchestrating everything to make sure I was able to stay on point, you know, and have some material to discuss.
I'm betting that's with the guy you called the larger Amish producer, my former colleague Matt Spiegel.
What?
I wonder, do the Amish know we're in a pandemic right now? You know, I wonder, did anybody tell them? I'm just saying, you know, you ever think about that? Did anybody tell the Amish? You know, I just thought about that. Anyway.
About what's going on? Did the information make it to them?
Right, that's what I'm saying. Did it make it? I wonder if they know. Right,
this is awesome. Former Bear Joe Kane is with us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford is located in Melrose Park. All right, Joe, I know you are an executive chef at a five-star restaurant in Seattle. I need some help this weekend.
Well, I'm not cooking now. I'm taking a break now.
I'm not going to ask you to cook. I'm going to ask for a recommendation, all right?
Oh, okay, because I'm saying the dude is making it easy for all the sinners out there right now.
I was going to say, this is no time to quit cooking, Joe, but go ahead, Dan.
No, go ahead.
I have some dry-aged prime bone-in ribeyes. Now, what my thought is number one, room temperature, and lots of salt, a little bit of pepper, but a ton of salt, and as high a heat as possible, a real fast sear, maybe 3 minutes aside, and get them off and let them rest. Am I doing it right
How thick of a steak?
It's probably close to an inch and a quarter.
Okay, so yeah, it's thin enough to do, like, top side. Yeah, high heat, salt, but let it sit at room temperature for about 40 minutes to an hour after you salt it.
Okay.
And that way you'll get a little bit of that osmosis thing going, where it'll start drawing moisture into the meat of the steak. Mm-hmm. And then you cook it very high heat, just like you said, you know, right? But myself personally, with a ribeye steak, I like those medium. Other steaks I will eat mid-rare. If we're talking like a filet mignon or some cut of meat like that, rare is the way to go, but a ribeye has a lot of sinew and a lot of fat in it and marbling, and sometimes you got to get that marbling cooked real good, and it actually has more flavor that way. And that's just my opinion, you know, with the ribeye, because once that fat cooks and caramelizes a little bit, you know, that's just an extra dimension of flavor to me.
You need to do a cooking show again, because you just said something that's very kind. You know, you said, that's my opinion, not like it's law, like that arrogant SOB Bobby Flay.
Yeah, and ribeye is one of the only ones, like I say, a ribeye steak, I'll eat medium. Other steaks, mid-rare, but a ribeye, I always have that one medium. Yeah.
I purchased some Amish chicken today. Joe, is there any way to do chicken well? Because I haven't figured that out.
An Amish chicken, huh?
Yeah, Amish.
Why does it have to be Amish chicken? Are they going to raise a barn before you kill it or something?
It's a fair question. But you got to admit, Joe, isn't there there's a purity associated with the Amish? So I feel like
I know. I'm probably going. You guys are going to get some bad calls. Like, oh hell, you won't get any phone calls. That's right.
Right.
This is awesome.
Oh, God.
Joe, you are entertaining, my friend.
If you follow my blog on Facebook, it's called Roast and Pickle, right?
Okay.
And I do have a pretty good recipe on there for Chicago-style Vesuvio chicken.
Okay, good, good,
so
good,
Chicago
good.
Chicken Vesuvio with the green peas, you know, little lemon Ooh. Juice, white wine, oregano with the fondant-style potatoes. You know, it was pretty good.
When was your passion for the kitchen born? How'd this happen?
Oh, when I was a little kid. I'm the youngest of four, and so I was always around my mother, being the youngest kid, and youngest by, say, 6 years than the next youngest child. They were all, my siblings are all a year behind one another. And then I'm like 5 years later. And so I was always under mom's skirt tail all the time and in the kitchen getting on her nerves. And I like to eat. And that it just kind of like grew naturally and organically out of the love for food.
Did you cook for your teammates ever? Did you ever bring in, like, leftovers, or was that not macho enough?
I've had a few teammates over before where I cooked, but I didn't tend to like teammates over my house because one of them peed on my toilet seat once, and he knows who he is, and after that, I wouldn't let any of those bastards over my house anymore.
Who was it?
Come on, tell us.
I'm V-Man.
Who?
V-Man?
Vincent Smith, yes.
Vincent Smith!
Oh, no!
He peed on my toilet seat and then left. And then later on that night, in like my downstairs bathroom, I go in there and I'm like, what in the F is this? You know, right.
You mean not just a sprinkle? Not just a sprinkle?
Oh, it was a whole bunch of dribbles, like his prostate was acting up or something. Maybe it was swollen. And I'm like, damn, he's too young to have a swollen prostate, ain't he? I called his house and told his wife about it. I told the entire locker room, too.
What did she say? What did she say?
Oh, she just laughed. I told the entire locker room, too. Right. I told everybody. I'm like, in the hell? Seriously?
You can't do that.
We got to get a Bears date in Seattle again real soon, Grody. Grody's on the sideline for our sister station, Joe, so he gets to go all the time. And I've been saying, I got to do it. Next time Bears are in Seattle, I'm going to come out there, and I'm going to come to your restaurant. We're going to hang out. We're going to go out in the Sound and fish for salmon and have a ball, man. I'm so happy that you're really enjoying your life.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, it's, life. Right. Life finds us doing strange things sometimes. Right. And I'll tell you one thing, though, during this pandemic and being single, that is weird. It's a very introspective time. I think the next time, if this happens again and we have another quarantine, I'm going to start a dating website for people who cook. And I'll like promise some chick all the tacos she can eat if she wants to quarantine with me. You know? That should be pretty good. Right. Say, hey, I'm offering tacos and beer, baby. Hey, come quarantine with me. Make it into a song or something. Right. Yeah,
I think that's funny.
The right one.
That's funny you say that, because I do feel like if there is another quarantine in our lifetime, that we'll all be better at it next time, and we'll know how to comport ourselves better, right?
Right, right. I'm serious. I've made so much bread, I swear to God. It's like I am a bona fide baker. Well, I already baked anyway, but now it's like cinnamon rolls and cookies and the whole nine yards. I'm surprised I was able to keep my boyish figure.
Oh, nice. You know, on a bit of a serious topic, it's not going to be serious for long, but during the pandemic, with baseball, you know, baseball wants to go back to work very quickly, Joe, and my whole hook on this is, lots of luck with young professional athletes in their 20s going on the road not sleeping with strangers. Enjoy that.
Especially baseball, because they have the time to do it. Football, we didn't have that kind of time. But, it's going to be tough. I can't see people playing without the fans. That would be the weird part. Like, even as a spectator and watching the game on television, seeing the game without fans, I mean, are they going to pipe in artificial crowd noise? Like, what's going to happen with that? And at some point, the economy is going to have to open up anyway, eventually. And and so there's probably going to be a thinning of the herd, you know, in the next couple of years until the vaccine is created, unfortunately. But, what's going to happen? right now I'm worried about football season.
Like, Joe, from a – go ahead, man.
Yeah, I'm just worried about football season right now. Like, are we going to have a season? If we do have a season, what are the games going to be like? Are there going to be fans in the stands? You know, what is it going to look like for television? And so, yeah, there's a lot of things to think about.
Some of the colleges are already looking forward to reduced crowds, but talking about crowds, the Ohio State Athletic Director Gene Smith said Wednesday, I think, 20 to 30,000 seats. And I went on Pro Football Talk this morning, the website, and a pop ad for Notre Dame football tickets came up. It's like, wow. NBC wanting to get a piece of their website here and let you know Notre Dame. So I think what they've talked about is piping in crowd noise for the television audience, the players. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And even for the players, it just seemed weird without having a crowd noise. It just feels like it would be a scrimmage, you know, against another team. And do you get, like, the high quality of football from that? You know what I mean? So far as the adrenaline rush. Because that's one of the reasons you can never recreate a game speed during practice. Because you don't have that adrenaline in practice like you do in a football game. And so I'm just wondering, how is that going to affect the players on the field?
I imagine, like, Joe, from a defensive perspective, without fans, I could see what you're saying, that it would kind of suck. But I would imagine maybe the offense will actually like it.
Yeah, the offense will love it. Right? They'll love it, right, on offense. But, yeah, adrenaline is just so much of it. And, like, I just don't see – I wonder how is that going to work for the players mentally. Yeah, I wouldn't want to do it personally.
Yeah, it would be weird. We work with Dave Wanstead now. He's been a contributor with the station for several years. The audience has come around to loving him. I mean, they remember him as a Bears coach running the fingers through the hair and, you know, we'll be fine and, you know, just not seeing. Mm-hmm. But what I always told fans was that the Dave Wanstead you don't see is the guy who, when he walks in a room, conversations typically stop, and he's a guy with presence. I'm pretty sure your experience with Wani was a good one, unless I'm misremembering. What can you tell us about your years with Dave?
Well, I'm still kind of bitter about the unceremonious way I was released, basically. But, like, I didn't play with him. Vincent Smith played with him in Dallas. Mm-hmm. And V-Man said in Dallas, really cool guy when he was a defensive coordinator. I guess he kind of changed a little bit as the head coach. Maybe he became a little bit more standoffish, but he did have a presence, though. He had a sense of humor. Like I say, not a bad guy. Definitely a presence. And, I didn't agree with some of his GM-type moves, you know, but as a coach, you know, he understood defense and the X's and O's and things like that. And I thought he was a good leader for the most part. Yes.
Yeah. A lot of swings and misses with draft choices. John
Theory.
Yeah.
A lot of swings and misses.
John Theory was 94.
Thing about, he had this weird, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't get into it. Right. It was this weird thing about lifestyle, right, with certain guys. And, like, I'll bring up a situation, like, with Jeff Graham and Mike Timpson. Remember Mike Timpson?
Sure. Yep.
Wide receiver. You know, yep. Mike Timpson, you know, family man, church-going guy, you know, kind of a Bible thumper in the whole nine yards. And Jeff Graham, you know, and people like myself and Maurice Douglas, you know, we were all kind of heathens, so to speak. I mean, not bad guys, but, you know, we like to have a good time. Mm-hmm. And, once that, you know, I think kind of frowned upon that a little bit. And sometimes I think he let that get in the way of his roster moves.
Oh, really?
And I think a clear example of that is us letting the most productive player on the offense go and keeping Michael Timpson. Nothing against Michael Timpson, don't get me wrong. But Jeff Graham was the most productive guy we had.
Jeff was. I think what the problem was, they'd committed too much money to Timpson already, and they chose the wrong guy because maybe so.
But I mean, that was just like, that's an example of some of the roster moves that he made, you know, and so I just don't understand, right? Yeah, but so, like I say, otherwise, yeah, he was a very engaging dude. You know, he had a good sense of humor for the most part, and I had no problem playing for him. He was cool.
So he did not approve of Mo Douglas's career before football. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't think any of us. Mo wore some hot pants to work one day. Oh my God. It was like Magic Mike. There were these cut-off jean shorts, and you could see his underwear because they had like high splits up the side. And I'm like, what in the hell is this dude wearing? They were straight-up hot pants. I'm like, straight that Mo Douglas is different. No, he's different, man. Mo's awesome. A different guy. He's coaching now. Mo's doing great as a football coach these days over in Ohio.
Awesome. Good. That's awesome. Wow. I haven't talked to him in years. Joe, it's so great to catch up with you, man. Thanks for the visit. Our audience loves you. Mark, we all love you. Thanks so much. A great long weekend, man. Enjoy yourself.
Right on, man. You guys. Oh, the chicken. Yeah, check out the chicken Vesuvio recipe. Just go to Roast and Pickle on Facebook. And you
Roast
got
and
it.
Pickle. All right.
With Amish chicken. I got it. Yep.
Thank you, Joe. That's Joe Kane, former Bears linebacker out in Seattle.
So good. That
he's fun.
Amazing.
You're welcome, Texters. Glad you liked it. It is a feel-good Friday. Grody and I will keep moving the chains in a couple minutes on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
I want to do the Amish know we're in a pandemic right now.
That's a good one. I wish you could say I'll be here all week, but that's it. There's 25 minutes on a feel-good Friday with former Bears linebacker Joe Kane working a room like he always did, even as a player. Wouldn't it be awesome to have a guy like that on this current roster?
I'd work with him for sure, man. And you do know that I never did buy Amish chicken. I just wanted to get back to Amishness when I said that.
Neither of us knew he was telling a joke. That's why he delivered it in such a dry fashion. I wonder if the Amish know there's a band. That is stellar stuff, man.
How does word get to the Amish? I mean, there's so many volunteer organizations that exist these days. Somebody's got to tell the Amish. I don't know where they're hanging out in Pennsylvania. I mean, somebody needs to knock on a door or two and let the Amish know what's up and maybe hand out some wipes or something if they believe in those.
Yeah, we received probably, I don't know, I'm going back, probably at least 50 text messages, I'm guessing, on how much people enjoyed the interview. Thank you all for letting us know that. Please don't do it when you're driving, but if you're safe, 670-11, whether it's a positive or negative comment, and one guy said that's the best interview you guys have done this year. And I'm thinking, well, that's the best interview we've done at least since yesterday when we talked to Craig Elo at 2:30, which was the best interview since we talked to Scott Podsednik on Wednesday. We have been cranking them out. I got to stroke the production staff for all the guests they've been putting on the show, Grody. Tanny and Shep and Danny have been put. Danny's not a producer, but we've all been chipping in, and we've all been landing really, really good guests and timely guests. Really happy with the way we've made the best of 9 weeks of atypical behavior.
Amen, man. It's been a blast doing the last couple of days, but when I am not filling in with you guys or other shows or doing weekend stuff, I am a listener, so I've heard most of those interviews that you guys have done. And Kane, man, there is nothing funnier than a guy who genuinely laughs at his own jokes, and then to have that infectious of a laugh where he kind of says yes, it is like a yeah, yeah, yeah kind of thing going on. It was great. And that's the whole thing, man. You've had people, guests, celebrities, athletes who are more laid back, more engaging because it is the off season for everybody. I mean, the best interviews I ever got in my life were usually at fan conventions because the lights were off and guys were drinking and having a good time and there was no pressure. There was not just a game. So it brings out the best in these guys. And Joe Kane, he was a 10, man.
Yeah. And before we talked to Joe at 2:30, I couldn't think of anybody I'd rather have talked to more than Jeff Hornacek about the passing of Jerry Sloan. Hornacek played for him in Utah and grew up in the Western Burbs watching him when he played for the Bulls. I mean, Jeff's 2 years younger than I am, so he remembers that first Bulls team that mattered in 74-75. So Nick Shepkowski, I should have picked up that 15-euro Hook's cheese today and brought it out instead of waiting. Man, you guys deserve bonuses. That's what we're working on getting you, some bonuses. The owner sent you some free beer instead, but none for you, Grody. Not today, anyway. Maybe
that's,
tomorrow,
that's
but
good.
Not today, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but today I'm not drinking.
Mac, I'm going to take your cheese away for not following up about the White Sox with Horny.
You know, I thought about it. All right.
Time and place. It wasn't the time, but I just thought it was funny.
Now
I was
you did it.
Facts.
You said it now. Yeah. Now we got to cover it.
I should have.
Yep.
I absolutely should have, because, you know, his age, he probably, his first love with the White Sox would have been the Southside Hitmen in 77. 77. That would have been where he would have gone. So, yeah, I mean, man cannot live by basketball in the 90s alone. We got to do a little 70s White Sox when it comes up, right? Or today, some 70s Bulls, in case you hadn't heard earlier today. An original Bull, Jerry Sloan, passed away at the age of 78. He had been suffering from Parkinson's and dementia for some time. And at 4 o'clock hour, we're going to talk with Michael Phillips, the film critic from the Tribune, Memorial Day weekend. We're going to talk for Michael 10, 15 minutes on his favorite war movies and the direction war movies have taken and why they are still so prominent in the film industry. And then 5 o'clock hour, we'll give you a sample of some of the best things we've done the last week here. So that's where we're going the rest of today's show. Grody, I did something today I don't like to do. I called a friend, and I said, I need a favor. I need you to give me a couple of Xanax. I've never had a relationship with that drug. I don't like that drug. It really intoxicates me beyond, it just knocks me out. But I'm going to have nicotine withdrawal over the weekend. And, you know, if anybody knows what withdrawal is like from whatever it is, it's 48 to 72 hours of hellishness. Mm-hmm. And I'm figuring that's the only way I'm going to get to sleep. But it is time to put those coffin nails in the rearview effing mirror. And I'm tired of thinking about it. And I'm tired of talking about it. So 12-step work on quitting smoking begins tomorrow morning, bright and early, dude.
Wow. Cigarettes are being smoked today, yes?
Yes. Today is my going out party. Okay, I considered smoking myself sick. You've ever heard of somebody doing that? Why don't you just chain smoke all day to the point where your uvula is the size of a Titleist, and then you'll absolutely give them up.
Well, I'm not even kidding when I say this, man. Like, having been in, and we've made this public, you and I have both done rehab stints, me with alcohol, you with other stuff. Alcohol really wasn't your drug of choice. But when people go into rehab, whether it's an outpatient or usually an inpatient, a lot of times that last day you go hard. I mean, I remember drinking on my way into the hospital one time, and you know, because I knew it was time to dry out and go into withdrawal and the pain that was going to be. But yeah, man, it's like that last final party. So enjoy it. I don't want to see you getting sick on those cigarettes, Dan, but you know, enjoy them. And I honestly, I'm saying this for real, man. You talked about quitting like tons of times,
I think you've
tried it. I really want you to do it. I really do, because I want to see you live long. And
you know why I haven't succeeded? I haven't put a game plan in place. I haven't done a structured schedule. Here is what I'm doing tomorrow morning from the moment my feet hit the floor until the moment my head hits the pillow in the evening. That's how I have to do it. I've got to structure every section of the day and find alternative behaviors when I otherwise, because I smoke cigarettes to punctuate, you know, finish the first 25 minutes of the hour of the show, go have a cigarette in the garage.
Yeah.
Finish cutting the grass, sit there and look at what wonderful work you've done. Look how I've made tall grass shorts so beautifully. Roger Bossert of India, and have a cigarette. I punctuate everything with a cigarette, so I have to find other things tomorrow to punctuate with. And
yeah, that's the Xanax, right? So you want something
just to get to sleep without the leg twitchies. I don't know if when you quit drinking you had leg twitchies overnight or the sweats.
Everything.
Or constant.
Oh, the sweats. Oof.
Yeah, I mean, horribly vivid, ugly dreams are often a part of it. Regardless of what substance you give up, that restless, your body is saying, hey, what are you doing to me, man? I'm used to some toxicity here. Feed me, kid.
Well, that's the dirty little secret. I mean, the most dangerous part of anybody's addiction is the withdrawal portion. It's not necessarily while you're... Some drugs, I suppose, it is heroin. But like in alcohol, the most dangerous form of withdrawal is alcohol. To withdraw from that, that's the danger. That's the part where you got to be watched. It's not necessarily the part where you're running around doing shots and acting like an idiot. It's the part where you stop that you could die. because your body starts to shut down. So that it, and it's different with, obviously, with cigarettes. No, that's not the case. And honestly, a lot of like cocaine and drugs like that, the death rate is not as high during withdrawal, but with drinking, it's huge. The one, Xanax is something I could never have because apparently it does give you a feeling of drinking euphoria, from what I understand.
And yes, it's very intoxicating. Yeah. I did a half of one, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago, similar circumstance, and I was asleep in the chair 15 minutes after I took it, and a half of one. I don't know what the dosage was. I don't speak that language with that product, but I was asleep in 15 minutes, and the next morning, I felt like I'd been drinking for 8 hours the night before. I was wobbly. I didn't feel right. I hate those things. But if it'll get me to sleep tomorrow night and Sunday night, then I should be through the worst of it.
Really? Okay. I mean, if you can get through these next couple days, man, I think that'd be awesome. And just, I don't know, say to yourself, I'm quitting for the next 7 days, if that helps. And I realize that this is like a lifetime thing, but just because you've struggled in the past, maybe be a little bit more realistic with your cold turkey. Just say, you know what? I'm going to try this for 7 days. If it doesn't work, maybe I'll smoke a pack of Marlboros.
Yeah. You know the thing that sucks about smoking? The damage isn't as in your face. You're not compromising. You know, right. It doesn't make you irritable. You're not compromising. You know, they're expensive, but no one is going to go broke from smoking cigarettes. You know, you don't get angry. You don't get... It doesn't have any of the behavioral effects that are so destructive with other substances. And the damage takes forever before it reaches up to you.
That's a great point. Yeah, with every other drug, including alcohol, yeah, you are affected immediately by it, whether it's euphoria or the next day when you come off of it, the pain, you know, that pain that anybody can relate to, the headaches that it causes. But yeah, that's a unique situation, and I'm glad you're taking that. You say you're taking the cigarette, what is it called, the cigarette things to help you quit,
the cigarette things,
the
is it the thing with the hooks or...
The one-arm guy used.
What you about the one-arm about, guy?
Are you talking about Nicorette, the gum?
Yeah, Nicorette.
No.
Oh, you're not doing that.
No, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that.
Sorry, that was a painful moment for everybody. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, that's all right. We're going to take a time. We have a birthday salute to a teammate I'm excited about today. Going to get to that in just a little bit. And then Memorial Day weekend. War Movies, the topic, with Tribune film critic Michael Phillips at the top of the hour on Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Most likely start an epidemic. The way I hear Shep talking about wanting to fight people, you never know what he's going to pick in fights with Patrick Kane and everybody else. So I would say Shep.
New Orleans has a lot of gator sausages available. There's like a version of like a Boudin sausage.
I was at the 7-Eleven. They had Gatorade.
Gator sausage. Love the gator sausage.
That's good. They use pork fat, actually.
And was that the mindset defensively yesterday? Keem, I know you didn't like talking about it after the game, but you guys were down a player. Khalil Mack didn't go, but you guys had the confidence and you guys had the ability and you came through with or without him. That was a dominant effort.
This is Hall.
Yeah.
Okay, Hall, check me out, man. If you bring up Khalil Mack one more time in our interviews, and we are done for the rest of the year.
Awkward.
Teammate David Haugh is celebrating birthday number 52 today. Happy birthday to one half of our morning team, Mully and Haugh, weekday mornings 5 to 9 right here on The Score. David Haugh, Mark Grody, is an American columnist, radio and television personality, according to his Wikipedia page. This dude's arrived, man. You don't have a Wikipedia page. I don't have a Wikipedia page. Congratulations to David. That's really cool. I know it's
that's fantastic. Can you read the personal life part? That's always my favorite part of reading Wikipedia. Go.
It says family. He is married to his wife, Allison, a yoga instructor, which I knew. Cool. She owns a studio, I think, in Highland. And together they have a son named Blair and two dogs, Ashton and Bear. He is a graduate of Ball State University, which I knew. We're kind of clannish that way, you know. I guess maybe it's a... smaller school syndrome. You know, all the big shots who grow up and go to Syracuse or Northwestern. When you know, David's from North.
Ball State University, the home of David Haw.
I think that's they have Amish there too in Indiana, right? Aren't there?
I think there are some Amish communities. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we went to one on a field trip in grade school. Yeah, but David is a country music buff too, and his first taste of radio was disc jockeying. He's a teenager in North Judson, Indiana, and he jocked at the local radio station. Loves country music, and has become a decent friend over the years, a trusted ally. A guy who stood behind me when some other teammates didn't do so. So I wish him a sincerest happy 52nd birthday today, the Ball State
Colonel.
What?
Amen, man. David Haw is a great guy, a wholesome guy, a talented guy. He is like a multimedia threat. He just wrote an awesome Cubs article on 670thescore.com. He and Mully with a powerful, powerful morning show, and the dude's all over the TV, too. So Haw's living it right. He's doing it right. And so happy birthday, Dave.
You're good. Haw.
He's Haw, Akeem Hicks. He's a guy who loves to work, too. Haw.
Yes.
I mean, he'll get up and do mornings and maybe head back to Indiana. I catch a nap maybe. I don't know. Right. Get back downtown and do Kaplan's TV show when it were in precedented times. Not right now. He's not doing that. But he is a workaholic. That man loves to roll up his sleeves and write and broadcast. He is a work machine. I don't know what it was about his life that makes him so driven, but I don't know if I've worked with anybody who loves grinding as much as he does.
Maybe he was working the farms with Latavius Simmons. Maybe he, there was something. Yeah, the pig. He was working with the pig. It's very possible. No, nothing more symbolic of his work ethic than when every once in a while I would catch the end of the Mully and Haw show. I usually catch like the last half an hour because I sleep and all that kind of stuff. But then I heard him on with, it was either you or Parco, on the afternoon show one day. So he like did two day parts, which included morning drive, which is really hard to do.
Yes, he double dipped for both of us. Once when Danny wasn't here, he did it for me. And once he did it, opposite. So he's done us both. He's polygamous on the afternoon
he's
show.
He's horny.
He is horny. You know, the story about a pig, Pig Simmons, growing up with pigs, Latavius Simmons, the Bears' seventh-round pick, reminded me a little bit of the first story I read about Dan Hampton and after the Bears drafted him. And Pig is an Arkansas native, if I remember right. Is it Arkansas or Bama he was in last night?
I thought it was Arkansas.
I thought it was Arkansas. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's Arkansas.
You know, Hampton went to Arkansas, and I spent a lot of time in that state as a kid.
I will tell you this: it's fun to watch Rex Ryan's team go after people. The nut doesn't fall far from the pig's butt, if you know what I mean.
Oh, sure.
It's Hampton talking pigs. It's the Dan Hampton CNSA. I have to give attribution on that one. That's Jason Goff's. Dan Hampton CNC. The first article I read about Hampton when the Bears drafted him was he grew up on a farm and they were poor and he had a pet pig and times were tough and they had to kill his pet pig to food on the table. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
That's the first thing I remember. And who knows? Who had any idea that 40 years later we would be taking a tug at a Dan Hampton farm animal anytime he had a football analogy?
Yeah, I never played with a pig.
Jokey.
Oh, Jokey. Do yourself a favor if you have the radio.com app. Go back to 3 o'clock and you will laugh. You will laugh with Joe Kane.
Yeah, we're gonna get to war films in just a little bit because it's Memorial Day weekend. Michael Phillips from the Trib is going to join us. We're halfway home on this Feel Good Fast Friday. McNeil and Grody sitting in for Parkins on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.